Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smart, a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Michael E. Murphy,
and me, Sean Connery. No, I'm Nick Murphy.
Attempt to become more knowledgeable about this big, beautiful world and all the things in it. And joined with us this week is the incomparable
Casey Brown.
And joining us from DC,
Dylan White.
And today, you guys, we're going to get into a little bit of fairy tale folklore. So this week we're going to be talking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and our mission is to break ourselves away from the only version that I certainly know, which is the Disney animated film. I'd say that's probably the definitive tale. It's the tale that we've all grown up watching and that everybody knows. It's synonymous with that tale is that Disney movie, but it's certainly not the first version of that story. It won't be the last either. So we want to go back to its roots. How did the movie that we all know and love that Walt Disney made compare to the original fairy tale?
And specifically, what are the main differences between the two? Because I haven't read any of like the Grimm fairy tales or any of the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales, but I've always heard that the Disney versions are very, very different. So what I really want to know is, how is it the same? Like, are they the same story? Is it very, very different? Like, what are they, you know?
Yeah, so Casey is our expert. She knows a ton about Disney. She knows so much about the history and how the films were made. And she's going to be our expert on Snow White and then the Grimm fairy tale, I believe, is what we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. So, Casey, help us out, okay? We need to know, because all I know is about Dopey and stuff. And maybe Dopey's not even in the Grimm fairy tale. Can you help
Spoiler tell us? Alert, he's not.
Really?
Really.
Oh, my God.
It's not worth it, then.
Is he like a child, or is he like a mentally disabled dwarf?
He is a dwarf who... He just doesn't know if he can talk. He's never tried. They explain it in the movie, Nick.
So, Casey.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't know much about the Grimm fairy tale. We've already proven that in the first couple minutes of this podcast. So can you please show us the differences between the Grimm fairy tale, how things were maybe changed for the Disney film, and were those changes for the better?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely take it away as much as I can. I do want to do a disclaimer that this is not going to be in any way a comprehensive origin of Grimm fairy tales or the Grimm brothers. There are lots of great podcasts about them already. So if you're interested, just look those up. Or about the making of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, the film. Also great stories and podcasts about that. So this is going to be looking at the two side by side. But I think before we can look at Snow White, we do have to know a little bit more about the origin of the story. So we're going to be talking mostly about the Grimm's brothers version of Snow White.
Would this be the most popular, probably, fairy tale version? Would be the Grimm fairy tale?
Yeah, it's the most popularized version that we know.
Was it the first that we know of, at least?
No, it's debatable. Okay. So the Grimm's fairy tale came out in their book, their first fairy tale book called... And I'm going to just apologize in advance for my pronunciations throughout this entire podcast.
Hey, I'm not going to know it's wrong. I'll tell you that.
I am sorry, people of the world. But the book that it's from is Kinder und Hausmärchen.
Kinder und Hausmärchen. It's much of fun fairy tales.
We like to watch fairy tales about mermaids and pipers and such.
You know, little folk, big folk, giants.
I don't know. So what that translates to in not German talk is children's and household tales. And that first edition came out in 1812, which in itself has been changed a bunch. Okay. But here, just quickly, some of the other versions of Snow White that exist. So one of the earliest versions that predates the Grimm story is a story called Bidasari. It's a Malay tale. It's from 1750 AD is when the epic poem was written. Cool. And there's a lot of similarities in terms of there's a witch queen who asks her magic mirror about the prettiest lady in the kingdom. It is her stepdaughter who is that person.
Okay, that checks
and
out.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a similar story. There are definite differences. For example, Bidasari is only alive because she is tethered to the life of a magical goldfish. So
that's not in the movie.
That's not in the movie. No. Oh, okay. So that's the Malay version of
that should
of
be in the movie.
Yeah, just this weird goldfish in a bag.
Yeah,
you better not shake it too much.
Hey,
your life depends on it.
Well, I know. Yeah. Your life is
the queen finds out about the magic goldfish, and it does not go well for Bita.
She's just
Sari.
Like, I'm going to feed you too much sprinkles today because fish can't control how much they eat. They'll eat whatever's there.
So that's one version. There's also a few Albanian versions from the Middle Ages that aren't really well documented, but kind of folklore and oral tradition has passed those down. There's an Indian epic poem called Padmavat, which the opera Padmavati is based on, from 1540. And the queen asks that question again about vanity of who is more beautiful. The queen asks myself or Padmavati. And she asks a parrot this question. So that's there. There's
that,
a
that seems biased a bit. Like
the parrot only knows so many answers.
I don't know if I would trust the parrot on that one.
Yeah.
And so there's an Italian story called Snow White, Fire Red, which you would think would be very close to Snow White. It's really not. It's more like Rapunzel. There's an ogress who makes Snow White, Fire Red roll her hair down from a tower, and then the prince finds out, but then the prince forgets about her in a magic spell. So there's that, but it's actually not really the Snow White we know. Yeah. There's Nori Hadog from Armenia, and she's the daughter of a woman who asks the moon who is more beautiful, and the moon always says the daughter, and so, of course, the mom plots to kill her.
So this story is being told all over the place.
All over
this
the world.
This is a very constant theme of
which you find a lot in fairy tales. You know, I'm not an expert by any means, but the story of Cinderella, for example, was, you know, we thought, oh, Charles Perrault wrote that story in France in the, you know, late 1700s. No, that was in China. That was in Africa and many different countries in Africa. That was in other parts of Europe. So.
Sounds like we're going to have to do a podcast about Cinderella, guys.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm guessing it's just all done through like oral history?
A lot of it. The epic poems were written down. It's really all over the world. There's a North African story called Udea and Her Seven Brothers, which is kind of different, except in the end of the story, which is similar because we'll find out in the Grimm's version that Snow White awakens not from true love's kiss, but because I don't want to spoil it, but Udea is kind of similar in that way. There's a Russian poem that was post-Grimm that's called The Tale of the Dead Princess and the Seven Knights. And then Gold Tree and Silver Tree is a Scottish fairy tale, again, with the mom, Silver Tree, and Gold Tree is the daughter, and the mom is asking. So there's a lot of themes of moms asking about their beauty and their daughters comparatively. Grimm's comes from German oral tradition.
So
that's what the Grimm brothers supposedly set their mission to, you know, to them in their world. They were really diligently just transcribing these oral traditions from peasants. It turns out that they were a little hyperbolic in that they actually learned a lot of these stories from like a tailor's wife, which was a very high merchant class type of woman. But so the 1812 version was their first story of Snow White, and then it was very edited in 1819. So that the 1819 version is the one that we know the most.
And this was edited by them?
By them.
Okay,
yeah.
So they kind of redid it.
They did it because the first version really wasn't meant to be for children. It was an adult story. They realized it was not selling off the shelves. It wasn't flying off the shelves.
It's a bunch of peasants just like, I'll take four copies. Like, you don't need that, sir.
I'm story Rapunzel, things get down, things happen.
Nice.
But so they basically edited it for children because they wanted it to sell more in 1819. So that's kind of the brief history of where the story came from.
So we'll be taking the 1819 version and putting that side by side to the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Disney film.
Yes,
more or less.
More or less. There was a 1916 reconstructed version by Joseph Jacobs, who was He kind of took a lot of these fairy tales and rewrote them in his own way. And it's okay. from Europa's fairy book. And so there are some of the changes that we see in the Disney movie are that, she wants to bring back her heart. There are, you know, three dwarves instead of seven, which is different. But there's, still a poisoned apple, and there's some similarities there. And then so that's kind of where the Grimm's version comes from. And the version that's of Snow White that we know from the Disney version came from the there was a 1916 film, Snow White, that Walt Disney saw when he was 15 years old.
So this would have been like a silent film?
Yes, a silent romantic fantasy is how it's described.
Nice.
Cool. Starring Marguerite Clark and Creighton Hale. Walt saw it, loved the story. And, I mean, there's no way to determine if, he always had it in mind for his first feature film, but that definitely
it played with a role. Him.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So, there's that, and that was based off of a play. And so from that version to Walt's version, there aren't many other versions of the story.
Okay.
So that's how we get to 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, first feature-length animated film by Disney.
We all know the story of that, or we'll someday get into it, but it changed the world.
Everything.
It launched an empire, true empire, and now it's the version that we stack every other version of Snow White from here to eternity against, including the Grimm's version.
So before we get into actual plot and, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the movie, I was just curious what your guys' experience with the story of Snow White or the movie was even.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, growing up for me, it was one of the ones I kind of just ignored because I was like, well, it's a princess movie. I was, a boy and wanted to watch Aladdin and Lion King and things that didn't have the princesses. So I kind of came into it later in life, and it's amazing now, just the feat of the animation, and it's actually a charming little movie too. So
yeah, mine's about the same. Obviously I'm brothers with Mike, and so we had similar experiences with Disney in general. And so yeah, same thing. Probably not my top 10 to 20 favorite Disney movies, but I respect the hell out of it for everything it did. And again, it was, for the time, it's insanely impressive how high quality it is.
How about you, Dylan? Have you always had a long love for this movie, or has this been on your radar?
Yeah, no, so this has never been my favorite Disney movie, but, I mean, same. It's the one where, this really began everything. It was the first feature-length Disney movie, so I've always respected it for that. I think watching it now, I realize, the animation is amazing. For
1937, it's pretty damn impressive. I thought it was going to be like stick figures, to be honest. When I went back to rewatch it, I was like, well, it's going to be good for 37. I'm like, it's pretty good for now.
I would say, I noticed watching this now, there's a remarkable amount of filler in this movie.
Are you talking about the whole middle section where they're just playing with dwarves and singing songs? What are you talking about, bro?
I was surprised that the dwarves came in so late in the movie. I remember them being I remember them beginning the movie or so.
Right.
But
it's
then
funny what we hang on to.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going into this movie, I was so certain that song "Hi Ho" was the opening number of the movie for whatever reason.
Honestly, right. Because I probably hadn't watched the movie in about 10 years, I probably would have guessed the same thing. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I mean, Casey, there is a bit of filler, but that they had to. Am I wrong? So let's get into the story now, and maybe it explains there's, from what I understand, there wasn't much story to begin with.
We'll start with Snow White the movie. It begins with, the fairy tale book, Once Upon a Time. And right off the bat, even in the very first page when they open that book, different.
Oh, really?
Different. So
when they're opening it, that's not directly a quote from the Grimm fairy tale. That's some bullshit.
No, believe
there.
It or not. So in the Disney movie, they kind of cut some of the story out because they say Snow White had the stepmother.
Right.
Da, da, da. Well, in the Grimm's version, it opens with Snow White's mother, this is the 1819 version of the Grimm story, who wishes for a child of, let me get the exact. If only I had a child as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as the wood in this windowsill. So it's a mother who wants nothing more than a child, has the baby, and then dies right away. in childbirth.
Wait, the stepmom does?
No, the mother, her real mother in the Grimm story.
Okay, I was going to say, like, why would she want this beautiful daughter and then be like, I must be the prettiest? I was like, no, you make no sense, lady.
So the original Grimm story, this is one of the changes they made to make it, like, more child-friendly. The original 1812 version, it was her mom who was very jealous of Snow White.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So they changed it to stepmom.
Well,
so,
I think the Indian version was the same way, right?
Yeah, it was her mom directly. And so they changed it to stepmother.
Okay.
And so in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, the Disney version, they just go straight stepmom, cut out mom entirely. In both stories, King is totally irrelevant. Snow White's dad just basically doesn't matter. It doesn't come up really.
Right.
And so
he doesn't appear in the movie at all, right?
No. No. And so it also says in the intro that she dresses her in rags and tries to downplay her beauty. So this is also different. Snow White and the Grimm story is about seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
The whole time?
She's a child.
Weird.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of things weirder in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very strange that she is. Yes. So
this is an incredibly creepy story now.
Yeah.
You want to hear something else creepy, though? You know how old Snow White is in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves? 14 is kind of her age. Yeah,
it
so
was
she's
the 30s.
To be fair, if we've seen that prince, and that prince is a beautiful young boy, if I've ever seen.
Yeah,
him.
He is very.
Young. He's like 15.
He's very very soft featured. Got all his baby fat in his face.
So too. So she's not. She's twice as old as Snow White in the Grimm story. And in the Grimm story, she's not dressed in rags or anything. That seems like it's pulled a little bit from the Beata Sari story from Malay culture. The evil mom stepmom dresses Beata Sari in rags. And, so that's different, and it gets right into the magic mirror in the Disney movie. You know, mirror, or what does she say? Slave in the magic mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, mirror on the wall. That whole thing.
It's fucked up, man. The mirror's just like. Really? What? You gonna refer to me as
my
a slave? I mean,
Jerry.
I know
can
what
you just
I am.
Call me Jerry, please. Like always, this slave do my bidding. It's like come on, just be nice.
I'm not just a serial number.
It's not like you have an HR department I can call.
Yeah, so mirror's not treated really well.
Where's the number for HR to call?
The mirror in the original Grimm story is treated pretty similarly. The stepmother in that story asks every morning the mirror the same question. And then finally one day when Snow White hits that magic age of seven, the mirror says, you know, he can't lie. The mirror can't lie. And this is true in both. So you, my queen, are fair. It is true, but Snow White is 1,000 times fairer than you.
Dang.
That's the original Grimm.
He's like, you wait one day, I'm gonna burn your ass.
Super burn.
Yeah, I know. The mirror burns the queen pretty regularly. That's in awesome. The original Grimm story.
Do you think that this entire story is basically just the mirror really, really has a grudge at this point?
Snow White's actually not that pretty. It's
Snow White is actually
so
just like purely innocent and not even that pretty, and the mirror is just like, I'm gonna fuck with this woman right now.
Yeah.
This evil.
He's like, I can't lie.
That one's 1,000 times prettier. That one right there. She's like, hello, I'm Snow White. And she's like, that one's prettier than this. Like, 1,000 times.
This motherfucker interrupts my Dungeons and Dragons time with her like vanity questions. I'm just gonna fuck
with
her
the other
right now.
Masks in a mirror. And, yeah. God.
So, yeah, so whatever the mirror's intentions are, we don't know. But so Disney movie, she asks the mirror, and then it cuts to Snow White talking to animals, you know, being generally Snow Whitey and kind. And right. This is already more characterization than she will ever get in the Grimm story.
Really?
Oh, really?
In the Grimm story, she is a 7-year-old child. She does not have much to her, to be honest.
So she's just like, I like dirt.
Yeah, I mean, the Grimm story is like 10 pages long. It is, you know, okay. So the reason that there seems like there's so much filler in this movie is because they're trying to make an hour and 25-minute movie off of 10 minutes. So she does her song, I'm Wishing, one song. It's adorable, and she's just so sweet and kind.
I'm wishing.
Well, and that's one thing that, like, just based off that, the specific scene in the animation, the whole shot where it's like
from
her reflection in the well. Yeah. I'm like, in the 30s, that's crazy. Like, that's such a good shot of animation. Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe that would have blown my mind
if
I had been around in that time. Like,
this movie did blow people's minds.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, people were at the end when the dwarves were weeping over Snow White. People in the audience were weeping.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, they said that it was like they were real.
Yeah.
So we have that scene. She meets the prince, But she gets kind of frightened, startled by him, and he asks her to stay. You know, and so the prince is giving, you know, like trying to engage in her and tries to woo her. The prince in the original Grimm story does not come up until the last page. So
not even mentioned or introduced.
Nope.
So he just rolls up just, on a 7-year old and he's just like, that's my right deal.
A dead 7-year old.
So close to
a corpse of a 7-year old.
I think at this point she's a little older than 7, but
okay.
He does roll up. So the prince in this
That makes it better, Casey.
We'll get there.
I'm just you can't say something like that and not explain how insane
I know it's insane, but okay. This is also, you know, another, you know, we could talk about better or worse, but in the Disney movie, the prince shows up in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. And obviously his intentions are clear. They fell in love at first sight, and they have the whole, you know, he sings to her. That scene where they're on the balcony is a direct pull from a Romeo and Juliet movie that was made around that time.
Okay.
Fun fact.
Cool.
But so she gives, the queen is creepily watching from a window, mad as fuck.
True.
Super creepy.
Look at y'all pretty with your pretty high voice and all that.
And that's another example of really cool animation. I know we're not focused on the animation, but they used this kind of multi-level plane technology to get that depth of that shot with the queen in the window. But the queen's super mad, and then Snow White kisses a little dove and sends it down to the prince. And so in this Disney version, she's like giving him the first kiss.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a lot more consent going on all around.
Although, how clean is that bird? Did she actually give him rabies?
Possibly. There could be. It could be a rabid kiss. It could be a warning.
You better stay away from me.
It's going to be a closed mouth kiss. I'm going to be locked out right now.
So we cut to the queen in her peacock throne, which peacocks are a symbol of vanity, and that shows up in some of the other versions of Snow White. Mm-hmm. Tells the huntsman to kill Snow White and bring back her heart.
Which, real quick, even in the movie, I was just like, damn, that's pretty dark.
That's some cold blood. To just be
like, give me her heart in this box. Well, I was just like, damn, that's dark as hell.
It's kind of funny. We have this idea like, oh, they Disney-fied the Grimm story. If you compared Snow White to a Disney movie today,
that's what I was thinking.
It would never get made.
And that was my first thought with the whole like, kill her. I was like, there's death in Disney movies, you know, but it's like not so straight of like straight murder like that. Mm-hmm. And then also on top of that, she's like, bring me your heart in this box. Yeah. I was like, holy shit. I was like, my first thought was this would never get made today. That's way too like real. That's some real ass shit.
I mean, the whole point was they're like, this chick's name's going to be the evil queen and it can't be like the unnice queen. It's like, no.
Oh, and the evil queen was on AFI's list of the 100 top villains.
So. Yeah, straight up. That exact reason. I believe in that.
Like,
I agree.
Well deserved as well.
Yeah. So that's a difference from the original Snow White. So basically in the original Grimm story, she finds out from the mirror that Snow White is prettier and immediately calls the huntsman. There's no prince, no scene in between.
Okay.
And she calls the huntsman and says, please bring me her lungs and liver so that I can eat them.
Damn. So that is Disney-fied. The heart seems quaint at that point.
Yep.
Give me everything but the heart. I just want the, give me the innards.
I want the parts that I can eat.
Yep. Yeah. So that was the command of the original huntsman.
Is this queen like Elizabeth Bathory? Or someone.
Maybe.
There are possible actual historical figures that this was based on. Not like with, there was a historical figure that could have been Snow White where she was going to make an ill-advised marriage, and so the stepmom kind of inadvertently had a hand in poisoning her. Real, if you want more info, that she's named, hold on, I have the names of, it's Marguerite von Waldeck. If you want to look into her a little bit more, potential
Marguerite von Wild Duck.
And so, okay, so we go. Oh my gosh.
Long line of wild ducks,
man. We wild duck. We wild out all the time.
And so here's like in these two versions, this is where the stories are very similar. The huntsman goes into the woods with both Snow Whites, and she's just in the Disney version. She's so kind and sweet. She's helping this little bird, and he just can't come to kill her. In the Grimm's version, she's so beautiful, he just can't come to kill her.
Again, creepier, man. Yeah. Younger and just like, you too beautiful to kill.
Basically, so
I
it's like
keep them lungs right where they are.
It's so creepy because it's like basically she cried and she was so beautiful. And also remember, she's a 7-year-old child. Yep. that the huntsman took pity on her, but he thought, I'm going to let her go, but the wild animals will soon devour you anyway. Straight pulled from the text.
Damn. Wow.
So he uses a boar's lungs and liver, delivers it to the queen, and the cook boils them with salt, and she eats them. So that is the original Grimm version there.
And then in the movie, he takes a pig's heart, so that checks out in terms of the animal.
Yeah, so he takes an animal heart, back to the queen. So they both kind of run away. They both run through the forest. The Grimm story does talk about how she is like, there's wild animals, but they don't ever seem to quite attack her. And then in this Snow White, in the Disney version, she runs through the forest. And Dylan, I think you'll like this, but a lot of the imagery in that scene is pulled from German expressionist film of the time, Nosferatu and the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
But like in terms of like the animation with the forest,
the forest coming alive and the eyes coming down, and very kind of very there
was,
abstract.
There was definitely some like full blown German expressionism going on there.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So I know I was like Dylan's gonna like that.
I love that part of the movie.
Yeah. So that those are all similar. And then they both get to the little house. And then here's where we're just in different stories, basically. So Snow White finds the house in the Disney film. It's a mess. She's like, oh, there must be seven little children. In the Grimm story, it's very neat and tidy. It's a very neat, and there's seven little place settings.
Really? That's like so different.
Yeah.
Like literally the exact opposite.
Yes. And then Snow White, basically, she steals food from all the little plates in the Grimm story, and she drinks one drop from each goblet of wine from all the seven plates, and then kind of has this Goldilocks moment where she looks at all the beds, and she's like, that one's too long, and that one's too short, and this one's just right. And so she falls asleep. And the Disney version, she looks at the house and then of her own accord decides, oh my gosh, these poor children must be orphaned. I'm going to clean this whole place for them after I've had this terrifying day. I fled through a forest, but I'm a badass motherfucker and I am going to clean their house, make them stew, have all my animal friends help me out.
She's going
to
whistle while she works real quick.
True.
Yeah, and so also in the Disney movie, we've had some great songs at this point. We've had With a Smile and a Song, Whistle While You Work, the animals are very creative in how they clean the house.
True.
And can I just say, this is
the part of the movie that felt weird to me, was...
With her, like, in the animal maids?
I'm suddenly homeless, my stepmother tried to murder me, I'm running through this horrible dark forest, I got to this place, let me clean it up a bit.
And I think, you know, it kind of calls to women's roles at the time.
Yeah, that was
a little bit.
Man, this is very much like, this is what women do.
She literally was like cleaning when she was back at the castle and all that, and then gets to the next place and immediately goes right back into her role.
Yeah.
But it also does prove how kind she is. She's thinking about other people.
She is very kind. It's her main trait.
But the main dramatic relationship of this movie is based off of the idea that the dwarves just need a woman's touch.
Oh, yeah.
To straighten out the place.
Oh, yeah. Basically.
Doc needs hooked on phonics. But
the thing is that between this and the Grimm story, this version of the Disney movie is already giving Snow White more autonomy and more more of her own free will. Because in the original Grimm story, basically she falls asleep and then the seven dwarves, they are miners. They dig for ore in the mountains. They come home and they have this whole scene where they're like, who has been sitting in my chair? Each one of them has a who has been eating from my plate. Like there's seven different things. And then they finally find her in their seemingly tiny house, which I don't know why they didn't see her right away. And then they all talk about how beautiful she is. And they let her sleep. This is where it gets weird in the Grimm story. So they let her sleep in the last bed. And the seventh dwarf whose bed that would have been, instead of just like sleeping on the floor, decides I'm going to sleep 1 hour every night, at, like 1 hour in each other dwarf bed. Because that's his idea.
You got to spread a lot. You got to spread out that cuddling.
And I'm going to go little spoon and then big spoon and then little spoon and then same size spoon.
So they get 6 hours of sleep apparently because he's spending an hour in each other bed. She wakes up and the dwarves are basically, they're nice, but they basically say to her like, well, you can stay as long as you clean our house and make us food and do X, Y, and Z.
So they're demanding those kind of classic women's roles.
Yeah, and Snow White in the Disney film, her thought is, maybe if I do all this for them, they'll let me stay.
It's her paying her way. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So there's like the slight difference there.
It's an improvement. I mean, it's still the same kind of gender roles, but at least she's choosing to participate.
Yeah, it's her offering instead of them being like, you cook for us.
Mm-hmm. You don't cook for us. We make rocks.
You make rocks, do they?
So Snow White, she cleans the house, and then we cut to the dwarves singing hi-ho, and there's more about the dwarves, you know, their characteristics. And that's another big point in the Disney version is the dwarves in the Grimm story have no names.
I was going to ask that. Oh, yeah, I was like, I'm guessing there's not a Sneezy in the Grimm
story. They don't really have any distinguishing personalities.
No, not at all. Okay. They are just dwarves.
So Dopey might have been in it.
Maybe.
He's just a little more literate.
In the Grimm, there's seven, right?
Yes, there are seven. Okay. That's true to form. But Walt, originally, when he had envisioned this story, he thought it's going to be based on these dwarves and their personalities. That's what's going to sell this movie. And, you know, that's what's going to be the thing. And then as they were writing it, realized it was actually more about Snow White and the relationship with the queen. That was the heart of the film.
Right.
But he paid his animators, the myth goes, $5 a gag for whatever they could come up with these dwarves. And so they spent a lot of time coming up with their characterization, so their introduction, you know, to the house and everything. So at this point in the Grimm story, there's really not, we're going to benchmark here, because there's a lot that happens in the Disney movie that just doesn't happen in the Grimm story. Yeah.
So that concludes part one of our two-part Brothers Murph Get Smart Snow White podcast. Stick around. Part one was fun, but part two really takes a turn for the crazy in terms of that evil queen and all the lengths she'll go to just to murder an innocent child. It's really something. You guys got to take it in. And Casey will lay out the shocking, frankly shocking finale of the Grimm's fairy tale version that was still written for kids, believe it or not. Do us a favor and visit iTunes, leave us a review and subscribe to the podcast so that podcast comes to you every week. Nice and easy like, and you can keep up with all the things that we're learning and then maybe quiz us to see if we remember any of it. Hopefully we do. If you'd like to support this show, we'd be eternally grateful. You can visit our Patreon page at The Brothers Murph. Links in the show notes for that. And you can give us a dollar. Give us $10, as Nick always wants. $10,000 would be great as well. We can send them to just about anywhere for that money, so holler at us if you got it to give. I understand if you don't, though. Either way, we're really happy you're here with us listening. You can always tweet us on the tweeters at Brothers Murph. You can find us at The Brothers Murph on Facebook and Instagram and all your forms of social media that you love to use. For now, that's going to be it for the Brothers Murph. I'm Michael Lee Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
Dylan White.
And we implore you guys, as always, to stay curious.